licensed marriage and family therapist, director of Faith Formation, and lay Franciscan. Today's episode, we will be talking about addiction. What to do if you have an addiction, and also what to do if your family member or friend has an addiction. But first, I want you to picture this scene. It's late 1990s, Pearl Jam concert. It was the grunge era, and people would wear flannel shirts and sweatpants. I was in the fourth row. The music was so loud that I couldn't hear my friend next to me. She was trying to tell me how much she loved the song Jeremy that Pearl Jam was singing. I said, "I know, you tell me all the time. I like it as well," I yelled back. Just as I was getting into the music, all of a sudden, I was getting lightheaded, dizzy, and different shades of red and blue appeared in front of me. Then I was in a fun house where all the walls were different shapes. I couldn't get out. Panic set in, and I couldn't breathe. My friend said, "Let's get out of here, maybe to the bathroom." We managed to get into the corridor of the Civic Center. We could still hear the music. We found a spot to sit down on the floor, and she got me a bottle of water and a slice of pizza. I told her, I don't know what was in that joint, but it made me feel really weird. She asked where I got the pot from, and I told her it was someone I knew at school. I thought he was trustworthy. Those were the days when I thought smoking marijuana was cool, fun, and escape from reality. Now, fast forward 25 years to today, and it seems like everywhere you go on the highway, there's a billboard for an ad for a cannabis dispensary. Connecticut is one of the states where it's been legalized. It can be bought for recreational and medical use. It's so widely used today that the smell is overwhelming. I can smell it every time I go into Chicopee or Springfield, Massachusetts. So what's all the hype? Why so many dispensaries? And what about people saying it cures anxiety or it helps with their problems? All I have to say is greed. Many states see legalization as a moneymaker, a way to bring in revenue to pay the bills. To answer the question on anxiety, smoking marijuana does not cure anxiety. It actually makes it a whole lot worse. All drugs have side effects. The major ones for marijuana are paranoia, difficulty breathing, increased heart rate, and short-term memory loss. Taken in high doses can cause hallucinations and delusions, like what I had at the Pearl Jam concert. People who use it chronically over a long period of time can develop a condition called cannabinoid hypermesis, which causes severe cycles of nausea, vomiting, and dehydration. Not only does marijuana have physical effects, but it also has mental and spiritual ones as well. People who smoke pot experience lower life satisfaction, lethargy, not wanting to do anything, relationship problems, lower academic success, absenteeism at work and at school, and it's linked to some injuries. And spiritually, it kills the soul, and it brings us further and further away from God. With all of these side effects, who would want to continue using this drug? Well, many people who start using want to escape from reality. They want to numb the pain, to forget about past memories or trauma. When reality is too hard to handle, picking up a drink or smoking a joint is a temporary fix. Afterwards, the high is gone and depression and guilt set in. So when is enough enough? When does a person say, "I need help," or "I want to live a better life"? If the addiction is interfering with work or school, where you can't make it in, you're missing work, calling out sick, this is a sign that you need help. When an addiction affects relationships, that's also another sign. If the drug or alcohol use is sporadic, meaning not every day, maybe on the weekends, then an intensive outpatient program will help. This is a program where you attend groups 2 to 3 times a week, while still being able to keep your job. You would also need to see a psychiatrist who can prescribe medication to help with the addiction. If the addiction has taken over so much where your body has become dependent on it and you can't function without the drug, then you need an inpatient program. This could be a 15, 30, or 90-day stay to help with detoxing and living a life without being dependent on the drug. Now, it's important to keep in mind that a person who is detoxing from alcohol dependence needs to be under the care of a nurse or a doctor. You cannot do this at home. Detoxing from alcohol is more dangerous than detoxing from heroin. A person can actually die from alcohol detox if not under the care of a doctor or nurse. Once a person has been able to detox and learn positive coping skills, then the person can be discharged into aftercare. Aftercare is when a person continues group work, individual therapy, and medication management. It is a key to stay in touch with people who are going through the same thing that you are. Community is where we find healing, support, and growth. Many people attend NA or AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or Narcotics Anonymous. It is also a good idea to find a sponsor. Now, this is somebody who's been clean and sober for at least 10 years or more. This person is someone you can trust and call when having the urge or temptation to use. Now, what if you have a family member or a friend who has been drinking or drugging who has an addiction? There is support out there. Al-Anon is the best support group for families and friends. You can Google Al-Anon groups near me and you'll find tons of groups. Many people in the groups are in the same boat as you are, and it's helpful to relate to others. Now, if you want your loved one to quit, you can try an intervention. This takes a team effort of a few people, maybe a few friends or family members. Pick a time and place where you can talk to the addicted person, and it has to be a good time when they are not drunk and they are not high. The team of people prepare what they're going to say beforehand, and it's usually about how their addiction is affecting them. Is it hurting relationships? Is it causing problems in the family? Remember, the addicted person has to want to quit on their own. We can want them to do what we want them to do, but ultimately, it's their decision. God gave us free will, and that free will is to either choose good or to choose not so good things. Patience is also something to pray for because it takes multiple times to get a person to hear what you are saying and to listen. Sometimes this can take years. Working in the mental health field for 18 years, I have helped people with positive coping skills and have listened to their problems. But it wasn't until I worked at a faith-based recovery program where I've seen many people turn their lives around and make a long-lasting recovery. When we invite Jesus into our healing, true freedom happens. The chains of addiction are broken and the soul is no longer in a prison. I know because I have done this myself when I went through my own healing many years ago. And remember, addictions can switch. If a person gets clean and sober, but then starts playing a lot of video games or starts going to the casino on a regular basis, then that wound is still there. The person is not completely healed. Unless you get at the root of the problem on why the person started drinking or drugging in the first place, then the addiction will go on to another vice. Anything can be an addiction. Remember, if it's affecting your relationships, daily activities, your job, your family, your friends, then this is a sign of an addiction. And as I mentioned earlier, inviting God into your healing is life-changing. He is in the healing business. When Jesus was here on earth, he healed many people from diseases, illnesses, and even made a mute person speak. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He knows what we're going through, and he knows all about suffering. Just look at his death and how he was mocked, ridiculed for preaching love, compassion, and righteousness. When we unite our suffering with his, we experience peace, joy, and love. We are now in the season of Lent, and this is the time in the church that lasts 40 days, which represents the 40 days when Jesus was in the desert, tempted by Satan. And Lent is a time where we reflect on where we are in our relationship with God. Are we close to him? Are we far away? Am I living a life that will let me enter heaven? Are there any vices I need to work on? We give up things. Sometimes we give up chocolate or other things, social media. Now, if we're giving up drugs, marijuana, and so forth as a sacrifice, then we have to add something, like we have to substitute it with something good, like with prayer or with reading the Bible and so forth. So when we're not doing the vice, we gotta replace it with the virtue. when we give up something, and this is also a sacrifice, we offer it up to God, our sacrifice to Him. So if you've been thinking about quitting smoking pot, tobacco, or any other drug, know that God has your back. He wants to help you with your problems. All you have to do is ask. So let this Lent be a time for a change, a time to finally break free from the chains of addiction. And that's it for this episode of Love Changes Everything. If you would like to contact me or have any questions, please visit my website, youarelovedministry.com. Take care and God bless.